Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're going deep on science fiction with Horace L. Gold. We've got excerpts from his guide, How to Write Great Science Fiction, and also a collection of his short stories. And with the help of expert speaker, we're going to unpack those insights and see if we can find connections between them. Ready?
Absolutely. Gold is such an important figure in science fiction. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, and one thing that always comes up when you talk about science fiction is about predicting the future. But Gold really kind of pushes back on that.
Yeah.
In his guide, he argues that it's not about laying out blueprints for technology, but exploring ideas and their potential impact. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting because he admits that some predictions in science fiction have been surprisingly accurate. He even mentions, Da Vinci's inventions like the airplane conceived centuries before they became reality. But I think Gold is trying to get at something deeper, something more fundamental. He's saying that the real power of science fiction is in its ability to use scientific concepts to explore what it means to be human.
So it's not about getting every little technical detail right. It's about using those concepts to ask what-if questions about ourselves and society.
Exactly. What if we could travel through time? What if we could manipulate reality just with our beliefs? What if we encountered an alien civilization with completely different values? These are the kinds of questions that make for really compelling science fiction.
And it's those ideas, those what ifs, that Gold calls the heroes of science fiction, right?
Yes. He argues that the most successful science fiction stories use ideas as a springboard to examine human nature and the potential consequences of the choices that we make. And I think that this focus on ideas is one of the things that sets science fiction apart from other genres.
It's about making you think and challenging your assumptions about the world and how it works. To see that in action, let's dive into one of Gold's short stories, Problem and Murder. This one starts with a truly bizarre mystery. Elderly people are dying of starvation, but they all have plenty of money to buy food. It's a head-scratcher from the very beginning. What were your initial impressions of this story?
Well, the premise itself is so unsettling. It makes you ask yourself, what could possibly drive someone to starve when they have the means to eat? You know, there's this inherent irrationality to it that immediately draws you in. And Gold doesn't shy away from exploring the psychological complexity of that situation.
Right. And it's not just a whodunit. The story centers on Mark Weldon, an actor who specializes in playing old people. I thought that was an interesting choice for the protagonist. How do you think his profession affects his investigation?
It's brilliant, actually. Weldon's experience as an actor gives him this unique insight into the mindset of the elderly. You know, he understands their mannerisms, their motivations, their fears, and yet he's completely baffled by these deaths. It's like he's trying to understand a role he can't quite grasp.
So it's like his own expertise is working against him in a way.
Yeah.
Because he can't reconcile this seemingly irrational behavior with how he understands older people think and act.
Exactly. And that's where the science fiction element comes in. As Weldon investigates, he uncovers that these deaths are somehow linked to a woman who can send people through time.
Ooh, time travel. The classic science fiction trope. But Gold doesn't just throw it in there lightly. He actually establishes very specific rules for how time travel works in this story. Can you talk about those rules and how they impact the narrative?
What's so fascinating is that Gold's time travel has limits. The woman, May Roberts, can only send people to the past to acquire objects or information that already exists. They can't bring anything back that doesn't currently exist. And this limitation really emphasizes that the past is fixed while the future remains fluid and uncertain.
So it's not a free-for-all time travel scenario. There are consequences and limitations. And this feeds into the moral dilemmas at the heart of the story. Roberts' time travel abilities, while seemingly used for good, end up causing these deaths. Which makes you wonder, is progress always worth it? Especially when human life is the cost.
That's the central tension Gold explores in the story. Is it ethical to sacrifice the few for the benefit of the many? He's using this fantastical concept of time travel to probe a very real ethical issue. And it's not just about the technology, but the choices people make when they have that kind of power. And that's what's so thought-provoking about Problem and Murder. Gold doesn't give you easy answers. He leaves you grappling with these really big questions about progress and its potential consequences.
Yeah, it's definitely not just a fun, lighthearted time travel adventure. It's a story that makes you think about the ethics of technology and the responsibility that comes with having that power. And, you know, this theme of unintended consequences, actions having ripple effects we might not even think about, that comes up a lot in Gold's work.
It really does, doesn't it? Like, he's warning us, reminding us that even the best intentions can backfire. Take Water Gnome, for example. Here we have a pretty simple desire. A man wants good weather for his business, but then wanting that leads to a curse with pretty funny and unexpected results.
It's like a cautionary tale, but also funny. Be careful what you wish for, right? And it's interesting how gold connects those unforeseen consequences to believing in something in both Water Gnome and Problem and Murder.
Oh, that's a good point. In Water Gnome, it's Herman believing in the gnome that ultimately brings him bad luck. And then in Problem and Murder, it's Roberts' strong belief in what she's doing and thinking her actions are right that makes her blind to the human cost.
It's an interesting parallel, for sure. Believing can be both good and bad. It can drive us to do great things, but it can also lead us down some pretty dangerous paths. And speaking of dangerous paths, Love in the Dark really gets into the dark side of belief, exploring that blurred line between what's real and what's a delusion. That story really stuck with me. What about you?
Oh, it's definitely a chilling look at how easily our own minds can trick us, how much we can get stuck in the realities we create for ourselves. The way Gold shows Livy's descent into delusion, how it starts small and then just takes over, it's really well done.
And it's not just the psychology of it that's unsettling. There's also this element of the supernatural, this blurring of the lines between what's real and what's imagined. We see Livy's delusions kind of start to appear in the real world, which is really creepy.
Right. It makes you question your own perceptions. Like, is she really experiencing these things? Or are they just made up by her own mind? Gold leaves you wondering, and it's that uncertainty that makes the story so effective.
And there's this theme of being alone that comes up in Love in the Dark.
Mm.
Livy's isolated in her delusions. She can't connect with her husband or the world around her. And we see another kind of isolation in No Charge for Alterations, where Dr. Hoyt, who's new to this alien planet, is having trouble fitting in with the customs there.
That's a really interesting connection. It's like Gold is looking at all the different ways we can become separated from ourselves and from each other. In No Charge for Alterations, it's this clash of cultures. It's the discomfort with a society that embraces physical modification to an extent that Hoyt finds disturbing.
Yeah. And his initial reaction, that instinctive feeling of disgust, I think it shows our own societal biases, doesn't it? It makes you think about what we consider normal and how easily those ideas of normal can be challenged.
Absolutely. Gold forces us to look at our own preconceived ideas about beauty and conformity. And he shows how even those who've adapted to this new environment, like Dr. Kalmar, still struggle with what these practices mean.
It's like a reminder that even when we try to fit in, to be like everyone else, there are still parts of us that resist, that hold on to what we believe. And then there's The Man with English, which looks at the limits of how we see and understand the world in a totally different way. What did you find interesting about that story?
Well, the whole concept is just so clever. Think about only being able to perceive things that can be explained in English. It really shows how powerful language is, how it shapes how we understand the world.
Yeah. It's like constantly needing things to be translated. You only get it if it fits into your vocabulary. Makes you wonder, how much are we not seeing or understanding because of the limits of our language?
Right. It makes you think about the relationship between what's real and the language we use to describe it. And it raises questions about what knowledge is and how we get it and spread it.
Which brings us to the Biography Project, where seeking knowledge takes on a kind of scary form.
It's like a warning about the dangers of giving up individual freedom for the sake of storing information. This society is so obsessed with recording everything that people do that they've forgotten what it means to actually live and experience things.
Yeah, in a way, they've become trapped by the past. And it's funny because they think they're doing this for future generations, but who knows if those future generations will even care. Have they given up their present for a future that might not appreciate it?
It's a scary thought. And it makes you wonder, is there a way to find a balance between preserving knowledge and letting people have the freedom to create their own stories, to find their own way? I think that's the question Gold is asking us. And it's a question that's even more important today when we have so much information coming at us all the time. We need to be careful to question the information we get and to remember that there are always different ways of looking at things.
And that's something Gold wants us to do as readers. He wants us to think for ourselves, to question what we assume is true,
mm-hmm.
and to look at his stories from different angles.
He's not just trying to entertain us. He's trying to make us think differently about the world and our place in it.
And he covers so much in these stories. You've got time travel, the power of belief, clashes between cultures, the limits of language, the search for knowledge, the pull of fame, the dangers of ambition. It's really impressive how much he explores.
It is, and he does it all so well. Gold was a true master. He takes complex ideas and weaves them into these really compelling stories that are both fun to read and make you think. He never talks down to his readers. He invites them to think along with him, to really wrestle with these big questions about what it means to be human in a world that's always changing.
It's like he's saying, hey, here's something to think about. Let's explore this together. And he doesn't avoid tough or controversial topics. We see that in stories like Hero, where he tackles fame and the pressure that comes with it.
Yeah, Joseph Lyons, you know, the astronaut returning from Mars. Everyone sees him as a hero, but he feels really disconnected from the society he's supposed to represent. He's become this symbol, but no one really sees him as a person.
And his attraction to Laylee, the Martian girl, makes things even more complicated. It's almost as if he's found a deeper connection with an alien on another planet than he has with his own people back on Earth.
It's a really interesting point about the loneliness of fame and how our own biases and expectations can get in the way of real connection.
And three, to get ready. It's about the power of suggestion and how fear can spread. The little guy's belief that something terrible is going to happen is like a virus, infecting those around him.
It's scary how easily we can be influenced, especially when we're facing uncertainty and fear. It makes you think about our responsibility to ourselves and to others when it comes to what we believe and the stories we tell.
And then there's the hero nobody wanted, which takes us into the dark world of ambition and the desire for recognition at any cost. Gilroy, the reporter, is so determined to get the story that he's willing to put people in danger. Even himself.
It's like a warning about what can happen when you're too ambitious and how easy it is to compromise your morals. And the way Gold links the killer's actions to scientific progress, implying that his desire to create synthetic life is what pushes him to murder, is a fascinating take on what can happen when scientific ambition isn't guided by ethics.
Yeah, it's like a twisted version of the idea's hero concept. In this case, the idea, the pursuit of scientific advancement, has become something dangerous and destructive.
And it shows just how important it is to think about the ethical side of scientific progress. It's not enough to just seek knowledge. We have to consider the potential consequences, the ways in which our discoveries might be used for good or for bad.
It's that awareness, understanding how everything's connected, that makes Gold's work so powerful. He's not just writing science fiction. He's writing about being human, the choices we make, and the things we have to deal with as a result.
And he does it in a way that's both captivating and challenging. His stories stick with you. They make you think, reflect, and see the world a little differently.
You know, it's interesting how much of Gold's own life seems to be reflected in his writing. In his autobiography, he talks about going through tough times, financial struggles, and facing his own set of challenges.
Yeah, it's like those experiences really shaped his writing. They give his stories a depth and a feeling that comes from a lived experience. He's not just imagining these situations. He's using his own understanding of how complex people are and how fragile our hopes and dreams can be.
So, for you, the listener, what are the takeaways from this deep dive into the world of Horace L. Gold? Why should you check out his work?
I think Gold's stories remind us that science fiction isn't just about spaceships and aliens. It can explore big questions, wrestle with the ethical dilemmas of our time, and imagine new possibilities. And Gold was brilliant at this. His stories are thought-provoking, entertaining, and still relevant today.
So if you're looking for science fiction that challenges you, expands your thinking, and stays with you, definitely give Horace L. Gold a try.
I don't think you'll regret it.
And here's one last thought for you. Gold often writes about the struggle between what individuals want and what's best for everyone. How do we deal with that in our own lives? How do we balance our own goals and desires with the needs of others and what's good for society? Something to think about as you go about your day, armed with the knowledge and ideas you've gained from this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.